Jeremiah 16:17. For mine eyes are upon the ways of man, and I see all his steps. Jeremiah 16:17.
Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Psalm 145, verse 8. Will you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. Daniel chapter 4, verse 34. We've come to a magnificent passage of Scripture that deals with the conversion and testimony of the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Conversion and testimony. I've been looking forward to this particular session. We're going to see some magnificent truths of God's dealings with mankind in the verses which we have before us today. I trust you will open your Bibles to this passage of Scripture. We're going to be looking at Daniel 30, verse 34 of the fourth chapter, and then on down to the end of the chapter. Before we begin our reading, may we pray together, please. As we view the Word of God, we are able to see the power, the magnificence of our Heavenly Father. We're thankful for your great power in salvation. The magnificent, wonderful, regenerating power of the Spirit of God. We're thankful that we are recipients of your grace. We're thankful that we're saved by your grace. The Scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. Today we're thankful that we are your children, not because we deserve to be, but because of your great love for us. We realize that the Bible presents beautifully, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Father, we're thankful for salvation through Jesus Christ. We ask that in these moments we're studying now, that we'll have a respect and awe, reverence for the God whom we serve, expressing our thanks to our Savior, Jesus Christ, for his willingness to leave the glory of heaven and come to the earth to die, to take our place. And in these moments we're studying now, help us to be able to receive what you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please look with me at Daniel chapter 4, verse 29. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king reflected and said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you. And you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. Please notice, 7 periods of time will pass until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. Verse 33. Immediately, the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Oh, now verse 34. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praise and honor Him who lives forever. For His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom endures from generation to generation. Verse 35, and all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but He does according to His will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can ward off His hand or say to Him, what hast thou done? Verse 36, at that time my reason returned to me, and my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. I notice your counting, please. And my counselors and my nobles began seeking me. So I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. If you're paying close attention, you can set out your own sermon outline here by putting number one, number two, number three, number four. I trust you've already done it, but some of you are a little lazy, so I will do it for you, okay? At that time, my reason was returned to me. Number one, I'm helping you now, folks. And my majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. Two, and my counselors and my nobles began seeking me out. Three, so I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Four, I don't know why I'm so nice to you folks. I really don't understand myself. Being that nice to you, to spell it out in such a fashion that you don't have to do any work. But that's all right. That's all right. Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all His works are true, His ways just, and He's able to humble those who walk in pride. He's able to humble those who walk in pride. On the screen, let's go. Conversion and testimony. At the moment of conversion, Nebuchadnezzar experienced a fourfold restoration. I've been talking about it, spelling it out for you. Number one, my reason returned. We have here an emphasis upon the renewal of health. We're going to be giving you some words that you can add to your vocabulary in a few moments. Zoanthropy and lycanthropy. Those two words, some of you may be familiar with them, some of you may not. But right now we're just passing by that to let you see that the first point of restoration is my reason returned to me. Most of us by now understand that when he was in that deplorable condition, he was out there like an animal eating grass. We've read about it several times. No need to reiterate right now. My reason returned to me. Number two, my counselors sought me. In other words, popularity renewed. He gained the favor of both God and man. And if you have to have just one of those, you need to have the favor of God. But he had both the favor of God and man. When Nebuchadnezzar was reinstated as the rightful ruler, the kingdom remained perfectly stabilized the rest of his life. His reign was for 43 years. minus those 7 years of discipline. From 605 B.C. to 562 B.C. Some of you are taking notes, so let me reiterate. When Nebuchadnezzar was reinstated as the rightful ruler, the kingdom remained perfectly stabilized the rest of his life. His reign was for 43 years, minus those 7 years of discipline, from 605 B.C. to 562 B.C. When you get into verse 36, it says that he was rearranged. He was straightened out, which is the meaning of the word established. You'll see rightful ruler, stabilized kingdom, a prosperous reign, a long reign, 43 years minus those seven, a time of discipline. Now, to be nice to you, I'm going to go back to let you see how much fun I have when I'm studying. The first thing we see here is, my reason returned to me, which is an emphasis upon the return of his health. We've already read over and over again that he was driven away from mankind. He began to eat grass like cattle, verse 33. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven. His hair had grown like eagle's feathers. His nails like bird's claws. I'm trying to let you see that some things were taking place here. We have two words we want to emphasize. I'm going to put these on the screen and then take them off. The first word that you see here is zoanthropy. In the field of psychology, zoanthropy is described as a derangement of the mind in which the patient believes he or she is an animal or a beast. Now, if you study carefully, you will find that this is what happened to him. You talk about being moved into another realm, the realm of zoanthropy. Zoe is the Greek word for life. Anthropos is the Greek word for man. So you have life, existence. Let me see if I can properly take you through this. There's not only the word zoanthropy, but there is the word used lycanthropy, which is lycanthropy. Did you know that if you happen to be afflicted with this, the full moon is apt to cause you an inordinate amount of distress? Lycanthropy can refer to either the delusion idea that one is a wolf or a werewolf. Are you listening? Transformations that have been the stuff of superstitions for centuries. In some cultures, similar myths involve human transformation into other equally feared animals, like hyenas or lepers in Africa, for example, or the tigers in Asia. The word lycanthropy itself, however, comes from the Greek word lykos, meaning wolf, anthropos, meaning human being, mankind. So the word wolf is an emphasis upon myths that are usually associated with the phases of the moon, the animal nature of the werewolf, or the lycanthropy, L-Y-C-A-N-T-H-R-O-P-E, which is typically thought to take over when the moon is full. I'm trying to give you a warning when the moon is full. I'm having fun. If you'll notice now, at the moment of conversion in this man's life, he experienced a fourfold restoration. The first thing was a return of sensibility, the return of his mind. I pause to remind you that God is responsible, and when we let Him, we will have the proper method of living. God desires that we follow Him, know Him, so that we can have stability and good sense. My reason returned to me. It's very important to see that. My reason returned to me. What else do we find? Number two, the glory of my kingdom. After a 7-year absence, Nebuchadnezzar now has his empire restored to him. Number three, mine honor and brightness. Honor means character. Brightness means glamour. I believe that he was a very handsome man before all this took place. But can you imagine him out there under that change with long fingernails, claws, the change that took place in his physical physique? Brightness, glamour, a very handsome man before all this. But now it's been restored. Number four, my counselor sought me. Popularity renewed. He gained, as I said a few moments ago, favor with both God and man. When Nebuchadnezzar was restored as the rightful ruler, the kingdom remained perfectly stabilized the rest of his life. His reign was for 43 years, minus those 7 years of discipline from 605 to 562 B.C. We have gone to Daniel chapter 4, verse 36. We've already presented this, a rearranged life, a straightened out life, which is the meaning of the word that's found here, established. Rightful ruler, stabilized kingdom, a prosperous reign, reigning for a long period of time, minus those 7 years. After his salvation, he became one of the greatest monarchs of all times. Monarch simply means sovereign head of state. After his salvation, he became one of the greatest monarchs of all times. When you go to Daniel 4:37, in this magnificent verse, Nebuchadnezzar honors the King of Heaven. I believe the King of Heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. The word to praise, honor, extol means respect and reverence. Nothing greater than that. That is to let the world know the person, truth, and works of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your responsibility and mine. Our responsibility in life is to let the world know, your loved ones, your friends, the world know the truth that God does work miracles in people's lives. Our orientation to God's plan for our lives is in direct proportion to our relationship on a day-by-day basis to Jesus Christ and to our knowledge of His thinking, of His mind, His Word. When we don't know, we will then go through life with horizontal viewpoint and substitute human energy in place of the plan of God. Do you see what I'm trying to get over? When we don't know God's plan, what are we going to do? We're going to go through life with horizontal human viewpoint, and we'll go from one substitute to another, substituting human energy in place of God's plan. Oh, the power of God is magnificent, folks. You and I must realize that. When we go to this verse 37, this verse lets us know that because of true transformation, This king now desires that the world know that Jesus Christ was truth and that knowledge of God and His Word excels everything. My question to you and my question to myself, and this is to be real honest with you and me today, is that true in our lives? Every day that we live, is God and His Word, His thinking, preeminent? Or are we all messed up with our thinking going in all directions and not allowing Jesus Christ to be supreme in our lives? Here we see Nebuchadnezzar emphasizing the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And then when I got to this point, I said to myself again, self, you need to say something to those folks. Our orientation to God's plan is in proportion to our knowledge of God's truth. You ought to write that down, folks. Our orientation to God's plan is in proportion to our knowledge of the Word of God, the truth of God. In other words, to get the total picture, we have to go back and get a more inclusive overview of this king and to see how God protected by grace this man and also this empire during a time of severe discipline. During a time of judgment, I have to tell you that God knows when you and I are the recipients of discipline. And just put it down, if you ever find yourself realizing that you're in the midst of discipline, be aware of the fact that God also is aware of the fact that you are in the midst of discipline. Did you hear it? In other words, when heartache and difficulty and burdens and trials and tests come our way, and we're under that, it's the canopy, it is the umbrella of that difficulty. Just remember that God is under that umbrella with you. To get the total picture, we have to go back and get the more inclusive overview of this king and how God, even in the midst of discipline, protected him by grace and protected this empire during a time of severe discipline. God always knows what He's doing. Isn't that simple? But isn't that profound? God always knows what He's doing and how to bring about the greatest results. One day, while at ease in his luxurious palace, content and prosperous, he had, as we all know, a terrifying dream and was tremendously frightened. So he gave orders to a number of dignitaries, including the magicians and the conjurers and diviners and the Chaldeans. But he didn't receive an interpretation until Daniel came on the scene. You say, well, are you repeating? Yes, I am. Now note, in Nebuchadnezzar's explanation to God's man, Daniel gave vivid details of what he saw. He saw a tree in the middle of the earth. That's the reason why we in the previous session talked about trees. He saw a tree, large and strong, its top reaching the heavens, leaves beautiful, fruit abundant, food for all. Animals abundantly cared for. Birds nesting in the branches. Then he saw judging angels coming down from heaven and crying out, "Cut down the tree." You said, didn't you cover that in the previous session? I did, but some of us didn't get it. Cut down the tree. Lop off its branches. Strip off its leaves. Scatter its fruit. Let the birds and the animals flee. And leave only the stump and roots. But bind that stump and those roots with iron and brass out in the grass of the field. We've been there. We read that. We heard the preacher talk about it. Look again. We'll not read it, but look again. When you get into chapter 4, verses 10 all the way to 26, we discover that Daniel is giving an invitation when you get to verse 27. And now, O Neb. Let's just call him Neb for Nebuchadnezzar. O Neb. What's he doing in verses 28, 29, 30, and 31? He's not listening. He's not paying attention to the message. Question. Have you heard me say that there's a difference between God awareness, God consciousness, and the presentation of the message and the reception of that message? I've said that a bunch of times. We've discovered what the problem was for Nebuchadnezzar. There was a point of time when he received and was aware of God, God awareness. But his pride, kept him from responding properly at the presentation of the message. When you look at chapter 4, 10 to 26, you see Daniel. You see giving an invitation. And you see Oneb not responding properly. And so there's no repentance here. You have friends and you have loved ones and you have perhaps neighbors who fit in that category. Oh, they're aware of the fact that you love God. They're aware of the fact that something has happened to you. They see you on a day-by-day basis or week-by-week or month-by-month basis. They see that something has happened to you. They see a joy and a happiness in you. And they wonder a little bit about it. But if they do not accept Christ as their Savior, if they do not repent, if they do not respond properly to Him, they may be able to see it in you, but it's not happened to them. Look at verse 32. And you will be driven away from mankind. Your dwelling place will be the beast of the field. You will be given grass to eat. Seven times will pass over you until you recognize the Most High Ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever He wishes. I see in verse 28, no response. I see in verse 29, no response. I see in verse 30 and 31, no repentance, no response. But look at verse 34. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven. If you want to look for an answer, don't look on the ground. Don't look for friends. Don't even look at the preacher. Raise your eyes to heaven. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven. And when I did, my reason was restored. What do you see here? Verse 34, I raised my eyes toward heaven. What we're seeing is conversion and testimony. I raised my eyes toward heaven. My reason returned. And then I blessed the Most High, praised and honored Him. You know what I did? When I read this and then I started reading verses 35, 36, and 37, I didn't know what to say to you. Except, wow! Let me read it. At that time my reason returned to me. My majesty and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. My counselors and my nobles began seeking me out. I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, verse 37, the last verse of the chapter. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true, his ways just, and he's able to humble those who have been walking in pride. Oh, my. He's done it to you, hasn't he? But what is he doing now? What are you and I allowing him to do now? That's what's important. Time's up. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we are aware of the fact that you still have a purpose for us, or we wouldn't even be alive today. And so we're thankful for life and eternal life and the blessings of life. We're still here, and that means that you still want us here. So help us to understand that you have a specific plan and purpose for us now. If you allow us another day tomorrow, then that's a God-given day, and we're to accept it and thank you for it and live our lives in accordance with your plan. Especially today, we would ask that you will help those who are listening who yet have never really and truly accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. We know that you love everyone. You sent your Son to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. We see what Jesus Christ has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. And so we pray that there will be those who right now will see their need of accepting Jesus Christ and understand that when the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved, it means just that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Father, we're thankful for that. And we pray that there will be many right now who will trust you. And we thank you for every blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh yearns for you. In a dry and weary land, where there is no water, my soul clings to you.